Let's turn this morning to the book of Mark and chapter 7, we'll look at Mark chapter 7. And this morning, want to say Happy Mother's Day to you mothers and thank the Lord for you. And got a chance to talk to my mom last night and wished her a Happy Mother's Day, but we had other things to talk about. Appreciate your prayers for my nephew at this time, who's had he's the young one that had, or at least in his youth, he had a brain tumor, a large brain tumor, and some spots had recurred. He had had treatments all his life, and a couple of years ago, two or three years ago, they had pointed out the fact that he had some more spots on his brain, and they are at least one of those is obviously grown and has caused a lot of pressure. And Friday he went into the hospital with an extreme headache and had lost one of his eyes, the sight in one of his eyes, and the sight in the other eye he was losing at that on Friday. And but he's in the hospital. They've done a bunch of tests on him, and it is, you know, it's a tumor, it's a cancer that's causing it, and they are gonna have some results Monday. Appreciate your prayers for Alan King. And he's dear to us, and he's about 24 years old, I think, now, and has had just numerous surgeries through the years. The most recent, a back surgery that he had, all the surgeries related to the early tumor that he had on his brain. So anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin today. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you for the fact that you work all things out for our good and to your glory. And Lord, we trust you and depend upon you, lean upon you with that truth that we have, that promise that we have from you. And we just thank you, Lord, for Alan and for his faith in thee and for the confidence that he has that if you take him, that he's going home to be with you. And we just rejoice in that. But Lord, we pray for him and pray for the doctors, and pray, Lord, that that he might be able to have treatments that would be beneficial, or that he might be able to have a surgery, Lord, that would be helpful. And your will be done. And we just pray for him, for his own understanding and wisdom in this matter, and as well as the doctors, that you give them discernment. And Lord, just pray for your will to be done. Lead and direct, Lord. Bless and comfort the rest of the family at this time, and meet their needs according to your will, we pray. Pray for your blessings now in the services today, that you give glory and honor to your name through them. In Jesus' name, amen. Kind of a mom, in talking to my mother last night, she mentioned the fact that Alan's mother was staying in the hospital with him and pretty much the whole time, and apparently sleeping there as well, which she felt was a relief and something that was good for her. And I think about mothers today, and I think about the mother that is mentioned here in this passage today in Mark chapter 7. I want to talk about a Syrophoenician kind of mom, as she is described here in this passage of Scripture. We'll be looking here in Mark and then also in Matthew. But in Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 30, we'll read here. And the Scripture says, "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon," talking about Jesus, "and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table can eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. We will also look over to Matthew in the 15th chapter. If you want to turn there, we'll be going over there in a moment, but won't read that entire text. But I believe this Syrophoenician mother is worthy of our attention today due to the manner of her heart. The manner of her heart. She is a great example, not only to mothers, not only to women, and worthy of our attention here as an example, but also to all of us and to the heart of every one of us as the Lord's people. There's something said about this woman, something that is noteworthy about this woman that the Lord Jesus make sure that we understand. And I look here in the two gospel accounts give the account of this particular woman. Sometimes the gospels have all four have given account of a particular thing that happens, and some other times it's three, and other times it's two, and other times, oftentimes, it's just one account from one of the gospels. But we find, though, today there's two that give an account of this particular woman, both Matthew and Mark. Several things I want us to think about, look at, concerning the manner of her heart. The first thing is, and we'll just go through these as we go, seven will be the number in which we find seven characteristics of her heart. The first one is that the Lord can't be hidden from her heart. The Lord couldn't be hidden from her heart. In verse number 24 and 25, we read it here. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Why? For, verse 25, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. This woman was not to be in any way hindered by anything that would keep her from being in the presence of Jesus at this time. He could not be, but he could not be hid. The truth is he could not be hid. Verse 24 says that. Now you say, the Lord wanted to be in private at this time. The scripture says that. He would have no man know it where he was. But in the providence of God, it would be that this woman would find him. She would seek him out. She would find out where he was supposed to be somehow. And I'm sure that it took something special to do that. I'm sure it took quite an effort on her heart an effort of heart, an effort of passion, an effort of compassion for her daughter at this time, that she would, that her daughter had a devil and needed to be cast out. She'd seek him out until she'd find him. She would find him. The desire, the heart to find and to be with the Lord and to get his help in times of need is exemplary here. She would come to him. She would come in a way that sometimes we aren't willing to come to the Lord. Sometimes it's easier for us to take certain actions. Sometimes it's easier for us to do other things instead of doing what we need to do, and that is desperately find the Lord for help. Come to Him. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13, in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we find the Word of God tells us, declares how important it is and how much heart should be required for us as the Lord's people in coming to Him to intercede for others. In Hebrews chapter 13, first of all, and verse number 6, the scripture says here, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Say, we should be bold in saying that the Lord is our helper, that He's it. There's nobody else that can suffice. No one else can replace Him. He's our helper. And if we have Him and we boldly say, the Lord is my helper, the previous passage of Scripture, or the previous verse said, let your conversation be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. We need to have a desire as God's people, as this woman had, to boldly go to Him. Chapter 4 and verse 16 of Hebrews, we hear that boldness again that's spoken of in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16 when it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. The Lord, even though the Lord wanted privacy at this time, yet at the same time, He was willing. He was willing to receive her. He was willing to accept her. He was ready to do for her what she needed. And we read this passage of Scripture before us, and He says, we've got this high priest. He's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And He says in verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Realize, He will be touched with our needs, with our weaknesses. We can come unto Him. He will receive them, and He can answer and meet our needs. And so she would boldly go unto Him. The Lord couldn't be hidden from her heart. She had a heart that was truly concerned about her daughter, and she knew that the best person there was to meet her daughter's need was Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ. The Lord can't be hidden, couldn't be hidden from her heart. It says something about her heart. And what kind of a heart do we have? Do we have a heart that says, first of all, the Lord's my helper? We have a heart that says, He's loved me, I love Him, He cares for me, He meets my needs all the time. He provides for me every breath that I breathe. I know that. And so I know that the source of my strength and the source of any kind of help that I might need is going to be from Him. Come to Him. Go to Him. Boldly go to Him. Boldly. Sometimes you think He's not being heard. Boldly go to Him. Be an intercessor that is concerned. You say, well, I don't see the need being met, but come to Him. Go to Him. He's the one. Don't give up on Him. She didn't give up. She wouldn't give up. He might have been hidden somewhat, but she was not going to give up. She would get to Him. Syrophoenician kind of a mom. A Syrophoenician kind of a mom is a mom whose heart knows the Lord's mercy. In chapter 15 of Matthew and verse 22. If you turn back to Matthew chapter 15, you see the same event, the same occurrence is recorded here in Matthew's gospel. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 22, the scripture says, and behold, the woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She's pleading for mercy. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She knows, her heart knows of the Lord's mercy. David was a man after God's own heart. The scripture says he was a man after God's own heart. David knew the mercy of the Lord, how he understood and perceived because of his sin, because of his great fall, the mercy of the Lord. She fell at the feet of Christ. In verse number chapter 7, verse 24-5 of Mark, it said there, certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. She's seeking his mercy. Her heart knows of the Lord's mercy. She knows he's compassionate. She knows he will hear. She knows he will be sympathetic to her need. She knows he cares. He cares about her. Do we understand? Do we know how much the Lord loves us? Do we really perceive how much that we are the objects of his affection? That we have been chosen by him, that we have been sought out by him, that though we were offensive to him, he sought us out, he brought us unto himself, he carried us, he takes care of us, he meets our needs, he works everything out in this world to our good. We should trust that he is merciful. We should trust that he cares about us, that he really does care. This woman had a heart that knew that her Lord cared about her and cared about her daughter. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. That we'd cry out to the Lord for mercy. She says, thou son of David. David is mentioned here. She calls upon him as the son of David. She knows he's that one that's the prophesied Messiah, the king that was in the line of David, that was spoken of as being the one that would be in the line, would be in the throne, on the throne, sit upon the throne of David, his father. David was a man he was a man after God's own heart, the scripture says. You know what? As the children of God, that's where we are. As the children of God, we are people whose God's own heart has been toward us. His affection is toward us through Jesus Christ, through that Son of David. His affection is toward us. We come unto him and our heart knows. And this woman's heart, this mom, her heart knew of the Lord's mercy. See, the condition may be terrible, may be awful, but the Lord's merciful. The Lord's merciful. He's good. It might relate to sin, but the Lord's merciful. He is so good. He is so good. He is so kind. He can meet needs that are the results of sin, can't he? He did that for David. He can meet needs that are the results of failures on our part. Come to him. Say, you failed. Come to him. Go to him. He's merciful. He meets our needs. He knows. We can trust him. We can depend upon him. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. He never does. Never will. The Lord can't be hidden, couldn't be hidden from her heart. Her heart knows of the Lord's mercy. She trusts the Lord. And her heart, her child is dear to her heart. There's a mother, the Syrophoenician mother. Her heart, her child was very dear to her heart. Matthew 15:22. Matthew the 15th chapter, back in chapter 15, verse 22. What does it say there? It says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. her heart is, her child is dear to her heart. Her heart is upon the need of others. Her heart is a heart like Jesus's. Her heart is a heart that's moved with compassion, moved with concern. She obviously deeply loved her daughter. And the need of her daughter was absolutely, there was nothing else more important. Couldn't be anything else more important than that. Her daughter is vexed with an unclean spirit at this time, and she is desperate. She is desperate here. Her child is dear to her heart. Greater love is nearly never known than the love that a mother has for her children. It's just undying. It is unconditional. It is the comforting love that the Word of God even uses as an example to tell us about God's comfort toward us, to tell us about how faithful God is to us. He talks about the woman, like a woman comforteth her children, so he comforteth us, the scripture tells us. She feels her child's need. She's grievously vexed. She knows what her child's needs. She feels her child's need. Those that have need, that are close to us, we should feel their need. We should truly understand, and we should feel it, and we should be those who are listening and hear it. Everybody in here has got needs, right? And none of us want anybody else to pray for us. We don't any of us want to. No, that's not true. We are concerned. We have needs, and it would be good if somebody were praying for us. Any of you feel like you need to be prayed for this morning? Here, pray for me, please. I beg you. I got plenty of things I need prayer for. She understood her child's need. And mothers know it. They feel their child's need. They feel that their children are in trouble. They know it. They feel it. It hurts. Her child is dear to her heart. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, she said. And then, sir, something else about the Syrophoenician's heart. A Syrophoenician kind of mom. Her Lord's silence only strengthens her heart. You know, when she went to the Lord, Matthew says this, Mark didn't point it out, but Matthew pointed out that when she went to the Lord at first, he didn't even answer her. Look with me to Matthew chapter 15, verse 23. Matthew 15, verse 23 says, after she came, O Lord, thou son of David, verse 22, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil, but he answered her not a word. That's not encouraging. Couldn't have been encouraging. But what'd she do? She's not giving up. The need's too great. She's not giving up. It only, his silence doesn't silence her. His silence strengthens her heart. The Lord's silence. You know, sometimes that we would be able to just trust in the Lord's silence. That we'd be able to just know that when it doesn't look like he's doing anything, that he is. That we can trust that when it looks like he's not revealing it to us. He's not revealing anything to us. And we love to know. We want to know what it is. We want answers. We want to hear. We want to know what the condition is. And we want to know what treatment there might be. And we just want to know answers, whatever it is. And we don't get it. Why is that? The Lord's not done working, and he's not stopped, and he doesn't go to sleep at night. He doesn't miss out on things. He's still awake. He's still alive. He's still working. And he's every moment is working everything out to our good. She seeks the help of the Lord, and it strengthens her heart to where she even, verse 23, what she do? And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. She's going after the disciples. Let me at him, please. Let me in there. She goes to the disciples to get to him. Says, hey, would you, Lord, you come out and send her away. She won't give up. She just won't give up. Oh, that our hearts would be such that they're so strong in trusting the Lord that we don't give up, that we don't get discouraged, that we don't get down when things don't look good. Because God is not done. God isn't finished. And he's still working everything out to our good. It's easy to get discouraged. It's so hard not to be discouraged at times. But she seeks the help. She's not going to be discouraged here. She is not going to be down. She is going to, she's going, hey, it's okay. I'm just, you ever had, my mom used to be this way. But some people, I think I'm kind of this way, and I don't mean it in a good way necessarily, but when I don't get an answer from somebody, then I have a way of either sitting there and just waiting. I'm going to wait. I'm going to get an answer. I don't want them to give me an answer. If it has to do with some bill that I wasn't supposed to pay or something like that, man, I'm going to wait around. I'm going to get the answer. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to say, oh, too bad, you know, I'm going to have to pay this stupid bill, even though I'm not supposed to pay it. Doesn't happen that way with me. I don't let that happen. I'm going to sit there as long as they want. I'm going to just be an annoyance, a nuisance to them as long as they're not going to do what's right. I'm going to hang on. You know, like I say, I don't know if that's, I'm not advising that that's necessarily the best course of action all the time, but that's the way I am. And I'll go to somebody else. I mean, if they say, well, there's nothing we can do about it. Well, okay, well, let me talk to your supervisor then. Let me talk to somebody else. I'll go across the hallway and get to someone else. I don't care. It's just not giving up. It's okay. Yeah, I don't like the way you treated me, but hey, I'll go find somebody else. Maybe they'll treat me better, you know? She's going after the disciples here. And then she seeks his help. Verse 24 and 25, what does the scripture say? Okay, they go back and say to the Lord, Lord, send her away. Get rid of her, please. We're tired of her harassing us. Verse 24, but he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's not a good answer. I mean, that's an answer that's so negative. That's an answer that sounds like that the Lord is not willing to do anything about this. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like it isn't going to be any better. But what does she do? She said, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Do we come to that place in our lives and her child was very dear to her heart, no doubt about it. But her Lord's silence only strengthened her heart. And she comes to the Lord and she is begging, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Worshiping him. She seeks his help through worship. You know, sometimes that's what we need. We need to be worshiping the Lord. We need to be honoring him. We need to be glorifying him. We need to be praising him. We need to be worshiping him, as the scripture says. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. So, like I say, the Lord silenced when he wouldn't answer her a word, and then he answered her, but with a negative tone and words. it didn't stop her. It only strengthened her heart. Her heart was strong, trusting God, no matter what. Trusting the Lord, He could answer. He could fix it. He can take care of this. She knows in her heart, fifthly, she knows in her heart it is mercy that she seeks. Now, earlier her heart knew of the Lord's mercy, but she knows in her heart, she knew that He was compassionate and that He did care, but also she knows in her heart that it's mercy that she seeks. She knows she doesn't deserve anything from God. She knows that. When we pray, do we pray, "Not my will, but thine be done"? Do we pray and know that, you know what? I would like things to improve. I would like things, the condition or the circumstances to improve. But they might not. And the Lord might just give you joy right in the middle of them. And you know, He's perfectly capable of doing that. He's perfectly capable of, right in the middle of a war, the scripture says, Psalm 23, that He can prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies. He's perfectly capable of giving us joy and rejoicing and thanksgiving and gratitude right in the midst of the worst situation that we could possibly be in. He's able to do that. And so she knows that her heart, she knows in her heart, it's mercy that she seeks. She didn't deserve anything better. She's seeking mercy. And in verse, in Matthew, we remember, let's remember another person. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 28. Nope, I'm not in the right place. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's back to Mark again. Mark chapter 7, verse 28. our other text. And she answered and said, so the Lord gives her I don't mean to mock, but the brush off a little bit. Verse 27, let the children be first filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. She's a Syrophoenician woman. She's a Gentile. And she answered and said unto him, yea, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. She says, but I know that I still have a right. I know that You can provide, because I know that even the dogs under the table have the right to eat of the crumbs of the children. Okay? That's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking for the provision of the children. I'm just asking for the crumbs that the dogs get to eat. I'm just asking for a little something above and beyond. I'm asking for a little bit of something that I know I don't deserve, but I'm still asking for it. I know that You can do. Even the crumbs are sufficient to take care of my daughter's need. I know that. Her heart is so strong. Her heart is so trusting and confident. Look at the confidence that she has in her heart, knowing that that mercy is what she seeks, and she knows God to be a God of mercy. She realizes her true place is low. She knows that. But she sees that her place, nonetheless, is still a privileged one, because she's at least a dog that can eat the crumbs. And the crumbs sometimes can be pretty... You ever eat any leftovers? And the leftovers end up almost being better than the first time you ate it. That's the way it is for me. Every time I ever have Thanksgiving, it's always the case. ate the turkey, you know, when it's hot, and the dressing and such as that when it's hot, and then they throw it in the refrigerator, and that's when I want to eat it. I want to eat it on Sunday. I mean, I want to eat it on Thanksgiving evening. I want to eat it on Christmas evening after we had it for lunch, and now it's cold in the refrigerator. Take it out of the fridge, and I guarantee it tastes, I mean, to me, I can assure you, to me, it tastes better than it tasted when it was hot. And I just eat it cold. I want it cold. It's the way I like it. I'll eat a little bit early, and then I'll come back, and I'll eat way too much later on. The leftovers, because the leftovers are sometimes plenty good. And that's what she said. She says, hey, just give me the leftovers. Just give me something. Lord, I know it's just mercy. I know I don't deserve it. And hers also is a heart of, it is this heart of just confidence in the Lord. The Lord says it in Matthew 15:28. He points this out. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 28, and he says there, you've got a little bit of faith. That's okay. That's good. Notice he says, O woman, he says, Jesus answered and said unto her, verse 28, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Great is thy faith. Sometimes the Lord wants us to just keep trusting him. Don't give up. Just keep coming to him. O woman, great is thy faith. Her Lord honors her faith here. How she prayed mattered. You say, you know, whether or not she prayed this way or that way. Well, he said, great is your faith. He pointed that out in Mark chapter 7, verse number 29. What did it say there? Mark 7:29. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil's gone out of thy daughter. For this saying, go thy way. What does he mean? The saying that she just said in her prayer in verse 28. It says, she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil's gone out of thy daughter. What you pray matters. How you pray matters. Desperately praying, confidently praying, but knowing that he's the only source, knowing that he's the one that can fix the help, knowing that he's the one that can help and take care of the need of the daughter as it was here. How she prayed matters. Lord, I know I don't deserve it, but I'm coming anyway. You said, come boldly to the throne of grace. You told me this is what I need to be doing. As the children of God, Lord, you told us that this is what we're to do. And this is all we can do. You're the only help we've got. And we're coming to you. Sometimes that's what does it, is what we pray. For the saying of the woman, he heard her. What she prayed. And you know, finally, a Syrophoenician kind of mom is one who her children are benefited by her heart. Truly. Be it unto you even as... What are the next two words? Even as, it's in Matthew 15:28, be it unto you even as thou wilt. What does that mean? Just as you want it to be. Does the Lord always answer our prayers that way? No. He does not always answer our prayers just like we want them to be, right? Sometimes it's totally different than the way we would want it to be. But he answers nonetheless. In this case, he answered her prayer just exactly as she wanted it to be. He did just exactly what she requested, as she requested it, be it unto you even as thou wilt. Just like you want to have happen, that's what I'm going to make happen. And that's what he had done. He made it happen, just like she wanted it to happen. Sometimes we don't receive because we don't ask. Sometimes it's just the problem of our faith not being diligent enough to pray, to really seek the Lord's help. Sometimes we say we're going to pray and pray for somebody and we forget about it. You know what? Telling somebody that you're going to pray for them doesn't really help. It doesn't make things better. It might make them feel better. And you say, well, I want them to feel good. Okay, well, tell them you're going to pray for them then. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't make anything better. It just, you're better off maybe just don't tell them you're going to pray for them. And pray for them. Be mature. Pray for them anyway. But they, here in this case, she's praying, she's wanting the Lord's help. Be it, and he ends up answering it just exactly as she prayed for it. Does it matter that we pray? Does it matter how we pray? Does it matter what we pray? Does it matter that we pray? Does it matter? It does. The Lord's saying here it does. And they receive. Oh, listen, those who have a mother's heart, like this woman had, they receive timely help. Now, as you, and the scripture says there in verse 28, what happened? Verse number 29, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. He's already gone. And verse 30 says, and when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. They received real help from the Lord. He really did answer the need. You know, the Lord does answer our needs. He promises to answer our needs as we come unto him, as we petition him, as we bring our needs before him. He's not one that's not touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's ready to answer our prayers. Does he not care? He does care. He's a merciful God. He cares about us. We're to come to what's called the throne of mercy. We're to come to that place that's the mercy seat. We're to come to the very place of Christ where he is ready to receive us. And he has for us a blessing to bestow upon us as his people. And sometimes we just don't go there for it. And we miss out because it was there. Was ready for us. We didn't get it because we didn't come to the throne. And all that God would encourage us as his people to be like this Syrophoenician mother whose faith, whose heart was so good, was so strong, was so caring, was so big that God might grant to us that we'd have the same. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us today. Lead and direct us and help us, Lord, to be a people who are dependent upon you. Help us, Lord, to lean on you heavy, cast all our burdens upon you. Know that you care for us and know that you will meet our needs. And Lord, just pray that you might help us to be persistent. Help us to have the faith that this woman had to come with our needs. Lord, help us to care more about others in need, especially our own family, especially our own children. And Lord, just pray that you'd help us to petition you more for their needs and lead us as a people, Lord, to be a people of prayer and a people, Lord, who truly trust you and depend upon you for all that you can do. And I just pray that you'd provide and meet the needs, Lord, of everyone that's here. And I pray, Lord, for your bounty and your strength to be upon each one that's here today, for your joy to fill our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.